Welcome back to Doom Radio, also known as Tango TV, where today it's Where's All the Data, Episode 7, having just completed the stream-through portion of Kama Sutra. And here once again, of course, with Talisman, my co-host, we are here to discuss that map set, myself having played it, he having watched. So, Talisman, where to begin? I mean, just to clarify, I guess I should probably be doing this at the start of these episodes. I have downgraded, if you can consider that, to Pertly Plante. Well, typically it's not a downgrade, but I guess in the case of Kama Sutra, people, you know, say, you know, it's intended to be played in ultraviolence. And certainly that was made known to me by the fact that Tarnson played through a solo net on ultraviolence in his own time and regularly, and he noticed that there was a distinct lack of, there's an absence of monsters. So perhaps I didn't play the intended Kama Sutra. I'm not sure what the opinion is on that. Anyway, Tarnsman, where to begin with this?
Well, I guess we can just discuss the intended, because I am going to use this as a negative in reviewing the map set, because I think that difficulty settings are part of the product, and if difficulty settings are ignored or half-assed, that actually does influence my opinion of the product, because while I play on ultraviolence and I might really like, you know, the ultraviolence, if Hurt Me Plenty is gutted, which for a couple of maps in Kama Sutra was just totally empty. I mean, there were others.
King's Arena, which I think was map 11 or 12, was
nothing. King's Arena had like, I want to say 13 monsters you fought or some crazy crap like that. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think poor difficulty balancing definitely is a negative. In like, if people talk about, you know, X out of whatever for a rating, that's something that would prevent something from having a top rating in my book, is just ignoring those settings. Because while I don't use them, a lot of people in Doom do. I mean, looking at the Megawad Club thread, there are a lot of people who play below ultraviolence, and a lot more, surprisingly, than I thought. We often talk about the problem of ultraviolence being the default.
You don't think it's as prevalent as we actually suspect it is?
I believe it is extremely prevalent. I mean, I still would like Hurt Me Plenty to be the default, and that to be the balance focus, and then, you know, harder and easier from there, but that's neither here nor there, but I think Kama Sutra definitely suffered in the difficulty balance department.
Mm-hmm. I guess we can strike up simply the absence of proper difficulty settings as a negative, and then leave it at that, because I think even though I did play on Hurt Me Plenty, you still get a feel for it's the same mind behind the map, and you know, whatever's there, you can still say, okay, Gusto did this or Method did that. And, you know, it's clearly the same mindset behind the monster placement there, even if monsters are absent. So I feel I can judge the map set, in other words, appropriately, despite the fact that I played on Hurt Me Plenty. Because there are still combat scenarios and stuff to say. Anyway, the gameplay of Kama Sutra seems like a good play to start, since it's often compared to Hell Revealed as the true sequel as opposed to the Hell Revealed 2. I mean, visuals aside, which is in some ways similar, in other ways completely wacky and not at all like Hell Revealed, it does have that set piece set up much of the time. I mean, in what other ways could you compare it to Hell Revealed? And do you think that's a good assessment?
Yeah, I think that's actually a very
bearing
good
in assessment. Mind that you last played Hell Revealed about 13 years ago.
Yeah, I've not played Hell Revealed in like 13 years. But what I do remember of Hell Revealed, Kama Sutra has a lot in common with it. And you say not visually, but I disagree with that. I think it does have a lot in common on every aspect.
Every aspect.
It does. It starts
the tacky Lego approach that only Kama Sutra can pull off.
Okay. So both map sets start off very mild, and they work their way up until the later maps are pretty ridiculous. Both map sets, feel visually complete, yet have very unique detailing styles. Like, looking at Kama Sutra, it doesn't look like many things other than really Hell Revealed, in that there's these big bulky structures, but they're not like Mechadon bulky. They're like this weird. I don't know how to describe it. It's just like very sectory.
Right, right. I'm just saying. I don't remember seeing any doorstep or what is that texture called? The one that you. It's like you can only use a. It's the only step texture you can use as a mid texture.
Oh, step top.
Step top. That's the one. I don't recall you seeing any step top wheelbarrows in Hell Revealed.
I do recall seeing Step Top used as barriers, though, and other weird stuff in Hell Revealed. Mm-hmm. But most of everything, like Match Week Afterlife and versus Stairway to Heaven, stuff like that in Hell Revealed in Kama Sutra, like they're kind of not necessarily gimmick maps, but not concept maps so much as like thing maps is the best way I could describe it. Like, this map is based around this thing, and it might not be a hard concept. It might just be an arena where you fight monsters in. Mm-hmm. Like I'm thinking Hell Revealed Map 15. I think that's Hell Revealed Map 15. The Gate.
Oh, yeah. There are a heck of a lot of maps there that were more than just spiritual successes, but seemingly almost straight-up rips. I mean, they were rips. They're just replications of that map idea.
Not even that. It's just that same feel where it feels more arcadey, more gimmicky. Even though there's not really hard gimmicks in the map, it feels gimmicky. It feels kind of tongue-in-cheek.
There are plenty of hard gimmicks. Miss Sporty, for example.
But that's more like just like it's a location. Like when I say like gimmicks, I'm thinking like sandy gimmicky stuff, not a.
You're gonna say concept.
No.
Because we spent a whole program B episode discussing the difference, and you said that there wasn't one, really.
Yes. Theme, thank you, is what I was trying to think of. That's more of a theme versus, like, a hard concept, because Miss Sporty really, like, didn't feel that...
I know what you mean, yeah. None of the gameplay actually responded.
Yeah, very little gameplay actually responds to what it is, and that's what I think it has in common with Hell Revealed, is that... It's definitely, like, each map is its own thing, but it doesn't impact the gameplay so much as just here you are in this place doing wacky stuff. And that's why Kama Sutra, and I'm going to say this, is the only time ever in the history of Doom, excluding some benches that Essel made, the only time Doom furniture works. And is delicious.
And maybe that map in the monochrome mapping project. You could think of the window textures. So that sort of applies. No, I would absolutely agree. In fact, we remarked several times during playthroughs, like, ordinarily in any other map set, were I to see this wheelbarrow or that overturned car, map 29, I mean, you would throw up, probably. But I mean, here it works. It's the tackiness that tacky Lego quality, I believe someone called it, several people called it in the thread, works. And that windmill. By the way, I didn't even notice that was actually a mini golf setup until you pointed it out to me.
Oh, yeah, well, no.
I was too enthralled by the whole Stairway to Heaven mini.
And that god statue thing at the end there. Oh, God. Anyways, but I think that those things are probably what it really shares with Hell Revealed, along with the slaughter type gameplay. It has a heart attack, or not heart? Is it a heart attack?
Heart attack. Heart attack is a
heart attack.
Yeah, that's, I think it's a Hell Revealed map. Yeah, map 18.
No, there's something postmortem. That's it. Map 24. Yeah. It's duplicated in map 28 of Hell Reveal, or Kama Sutra. It's not duplicated, but it's like the same map. And then you have the flat out, just totally sector for sector lifts of Heretic maps.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty cool. I honestly feel visually, because I don't want to finish up on this quite yet, because I do actually kind of disagree with you, honestly. I feel that it was either half and half, because I have played Hell Reveal quite recently, and it isn't detailed at all. It's actually bland completely. I mean, it really is a case of there just being boxes in order to, and sure, like weak themes in order to facilitate whatever monster placement that Donna had in mind. Kama Sutra does that, but then it also does the tacky, intricate Lego style quasi-realistic abstract detailing.
Kama Sutra, there's a lot of maps that are like, because I remember the first couple of maps of Hell Revealed pretty vividly. In fact, if I remember correctly, map 2 is very shit. And like, thinking about like map 1 of Kama Sutra or map 5, there are plenty of maps that just have nothing in them. And you know, those are counterbalanced by like map 17, which feels very Plutonia 2. Just like Hell Revealed has some detailed maps. It's this weird fluctuating, like, inconsistency that just, it feels very, very Hell Revealed.
Mm-hmm. There were a lot of just to speak more of the concept, because they're all coming back to me now. I think there was that one in, was it 6 or 8, certainly wasn't 7, which I didn't actually pick up on immediately, the concept, but you pointed it out to me. And even after you pointed it out, I didn't pick it up, because that's how dumb I really am. That clock setup, where the exterior changes every single time you return to it. Which is pretty, pretty cool. There's a lot of clever ideas in Kama
Sutra. Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, would you call it a fun map set?
Yeah, I'd call Kama Sutra a fun map set. I had a good time playing through it. I wouldn't call it a hard map set, apart from a couple E3 maps, and this one room in the map that was bare as shit when you played it. In Solonet, there's one room that has 3 cyber demons in like a 512 space, and it's just ludicrously insane. I'd really only consider that the true hard parts of the map set. But I definitely think it does have that right balance of difficult, but not super difficult. What I mean by that is, I'm going to use Combat Shock 2 as a counterexample, because it's something I played that I thought this was a really big problem in. When slaughter maps come up, one of the biggest problems that I have with them is cleanup. And, you know, they have this big burst of difficulty, and then it turns into, like, this slog where it's like, okay, is the fight done yet? Is the fight done yet? Is the fight done yet? And that's, you know, a lot of sniping monsters on corners, crossfire, stuff that I think makes for interesting fights. But then with the just absolute load of monsters there, it means you're spending a lot of time, you know, killing this guy, cleaning up, making sure everything's, like, gone. With Kama Sutra, it's very linear in its monster approach. There's a lot of just stuff coming at you from straight angles. It's all on the same plane as you a lot of the time. There's not a whole lot of sniping monsters, and when they are, they're like on these big ledges crowded together where rockets just easily take care of them. Like, whatever the map is with the freeway overpass and the big sunken nukage pit, I think it's map 14.
Yeah, it might be cool.
Yeah, there's a bunch of sniping monsters in that, but they're all on these like ledges that are basically like stairs, and they kill each other through infighting a lot. Same with a lot of the hordes in Kama Sutra. I forget who called it this, but somebody dubbed them breeding pools. They're just mass, just like mosh pits of monsters that exist in Kama Sutra that are so, you know, diverse in the monster placement you know, you walk into a room and you see this monster grouping, and, you know, in a normal slaughter map, it'd be like 500 Hell Knights. And it'd be like, okay, well, I gotta kill 500 Hell Knights. But in Kama Sutra, it's 500, you know, mixed bag cornucopia of whatever monsters that 3/4 of them kill themselves by the time you get to them. So it's still dangerous if, you know, you get stuck in the middle of this clusterfuck, but it's a lot faster to kill, and that initial burst of difficulty is still there with a lot slower cleanup process, and that's kind of what I mean by, like, it's not that difficult, but it still has challenge. You're still, you know, dodging stuff. It's not a walk in the park. And then it doesn't exceed that. Like, it doesn't go into, like, crazy, insane Skepland difficulty or, you know, Cesspool or, you know, crazy stuff like that, to where the monster counts would just be ludicrous to expect to get through. You know, those map sets work because, for those maps, it's like 4 total maps I listed, but those work because you have a lower monster count, whereas Kama Sutra uses its bloat well, I think.
Mm-hmm. I really have to compliment the diversity, actually, because although, I mean, for a moment there, I actually thought you were going to say to the contrary that was the case with Kama Sutra, because I still have that post-mortem map ringing in my ears, which very much was a cleanup process. Although, to be fair, I don't actually feel obliged to kill them all. I can probably evade them. I don't know why I did that. But honestly, there's a good combination of hard slaughter maps towards the second half in particular, which then switches back to concept maps, and they sort of bounce between them a lot. So, and no one stretch of the map set did I suddenly feel like, okay, this entire setup is becoming a bit of a drag. So I remained engaged right the way through to the end, to that end. The Notorious end, mind, which really captures everything about what Kama Sutra is, with, and also, by the way, being the only reference to Kama Sutra.
I think Kama Sutra is probably the one of the best joke wads.
And it did win the Mock Award.
It did, and I think it's important to really establish, you know, when somebody calls something a joke wad, it doesn't have to be, you know, mocking bad stuff. It can just be, like, Kama Sutra the whole way through feels very tongue-in-cheek. Like, it feels like it knows exactly what it is, and that's definitely to its advantage, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. I think that's actually what I meant to say when I asked, well, I meant to say both meanings, when I said, is it a fun map set? I mean, clearly, is it fun to play gameplay-wise, but also, is it, you know, is it tongue-in-cheek like that? Clearly, the answer is yes.
Oh, absolutely.
There we have it. Would you consider it an innovative map set? I mean, can you think of anything else like it, like, well, compared to Kama Sutra? Because in my mind, it seems quite unique in this respect. We've talked about there being certain aspects that you wouldn't accept in any other map set outside of Kama Sutra, because it sort of holds that, that mantle.
Yeah, I definitely consider it a unique thing, if only for its style. I think it definitely has its own approach to, you know, the Hell Revealed clones. And that's one of the things that I think is nice about Hell Revealed being remade throughout the ages, and it doesn't really get mentioned enough, you know, that we have dedicated hard slaughter maps, but, like, when you think of the, you know, Alien Vendetta and stuff like Kama Sutra, not really Hell Revealed 2, unfortunately, but the critical thing that those share with Hell Revealed is they start off light and then work their way up, and then, like you said, once you get towards the very back half, really start changing things up to keep it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that way, I'd almost say that Kama Sutra is still innovative, even though it had been done before with Hell Revealed and Alien Vendetta, because that's not really the norm when you think about it. Like, other ones, I can, like, Speed of Doom almost kind of does it, but not really. Stuff like Days Volt 2 definitely doesn't. None of the Slaughterfest map sets would do that, to the point where it's almost like that progression. When people talk about Hell Revealed and, like, I'm going to make a Hell Revealed-style map set, that gets ignored. And I think Kama Sutra definitely gets points for doing something that the only other thing that I can really think of that followed it was Alien Vendetta.
Mm-hmm. I personally consider it to be very much a product of its time, though. And I'm sort of undecided on the question as to whether it's aged well in light of this. What would you say with regard to how it's... I mean, could you see that sort of map set being made now?
Absolutely, I can see that sort of map set being made now. And I think that it's aged perfectly fine. I think that it's a perfect example of Doom at its best and what Doom encourages, I think. I think it shows that although, you know, we've slowly created these, you know, groups of people who like this and people who like that, and this is this style and this is that style, I think that Kama Sutra represents Doom at its most pure. It's just, here's a thing with monsters in it, and you kill them, and you get your key, and whatever. It's that, like, base Doom, but not used as a negative. I think it's, you know, it knows exactly what it wants to be, and that's just Doom.
Cool. I have nothing else to add. I think we've actually wrapped that up quite nicely. And in the interest of keeping this short, I'll go ahead and give the musical chords, unless there's anything less to add.
Music is pretty interesting in Kama Sutra.
Music, yeah. Actually, no, let's comment on that, because it's clearly an obsession with Duke 3D. Not just music-wise, but also map. We actually saw the repeat of... there was the Holocaust, and there was a Holocaust 2, I think.
And then... Well, another thing, like, they used a lot of the Duke music, but they also used a lot of...
Rise of the Triad.
...bad MIDI covers that...
Oh, God, no, I wiped it out of my memory.
But see, in the same way that I think Deathmatch works with that, Kama Sutra definitely works with that.
Again, like, is it the exception to the rule? Kama Sutra seems to be... Yeah, it's interesting that you regard it as the definitive Doom experience, the sort of what Doom is at its base, but also completely unique and nothing else can touch it for that sort of level of retardery, honestly.
Yes, honestly, because it is what Doom is at its base, but because it's that. It can just be stupid, and you can't dislike it, because you can look at that and be like, that's so adorably stupid. That piece of Doom furniture looks so bad, and I know that it purposely looks that bad. And I know this MIDI was chosen because it's so... It's like, if all the things that we find endearing and terrible about early 90s mapping... Mm-hmm. was done well.
Mm-hmm. And heaven forbid if that you know, wheelbarrow actually looked like a wheelbarrow, it would ruin everything.
I would be offended to the core of my soul if that wheelbarrow looked competent. It's like the snowmobile in Duke Nukem Nuclear Winter.
Oh, God. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, and it's if that was terrible, it would be so much better.
Well, I think that just about wraps it up. On second attempt. Here come the chords. For the gameplay, I'm going to give it a C-sharp minor with an added ninth and a flat fifth. For the visuals, I'm going to give it an E-flat minor with an augmented fifth and a sharp ninth, whatever that means. Innovation, which is apparently a separate category still. We'll see about that. G minor with an added fourth. It's made sense here, though. And music, C major with a flat fifth and a sixth. So Jimmy will get to work on that immediately, and you'll be able to hear that at the end of this podcast, which is coming up in a couple of moments. What are we looking forward to, Thompson, in the future?
For future, we're going to be having a discussion upcoming about what is inherently right or wrong to do.
Or if that's the correct statement to make.
Or if that statement is even valid, yes. We also have in the upcoming months interviews with Devastation, who came in second at QuakeCon's 20th anniversary Doom tournament. Super Jamie, Lupinix Castman, and Mechadon.
Wow, that is quite the lineup. I hope you're all jumping with glory. Yes, repeating that word.
Look forward to this month's Where's All the Data, where we will be playing Zone 300, as I have already played Unholy Realms, and Alfonso wants to do an experiment to see if there'll be more to discuss in these episodes. We will not be doing a stream through that. Alfonso will play it independently, and we will discuss our thoughts on it at the end of the month.
How concise. Thanks for tuning in to this episode. Join us next time for whatever program we have to offer.